thank you for this wonderful day, this Mother's Day, Lord, Sunday that you have given unto us. Somehow, some way, as you always do, I pray, O God, that right now, that specifically, every woman's heart would be open. But Father, more than that, too, that every person who has ears to hear would hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the ones that he loves today, the ones that he guides, the ones that he counsels and leads and blesses, the one, oh God, who is in such need today. We praise you for this service. We praise you, Lord, for all that you're doing in this body. Bless me, help me now, Lord, in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. This morning, we're going to do something quite different than I've ever done at Calvary Chapel. Believe it or not, I'm going to minister a Mother's Day sermon, the first one that I've ever done in my ministry. And as you probably know, I don't do Mother's Day messages, but I do Father's Day messages, but not to the Father, but to our Father, which is in heaven. Amen. But, you know, believe it or not, this week, which I'll get into at the end of the message, but on this wonderful Mother's Day, you know, I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning instantly. I don't know if it was a Wednesday night or Thursday. I think it was Wednesday night, or Thursday morning, rather. And immediately, I knew the title for this morning's message. Blew me totally away. I thought it might have been the pizza I had, you know, the night before, so I wasn't for sure. But what I want to talk to you about this morning, and we'll be in about three different places. We're going to be in Genesis and so forth, in Ephesians and in Proverbs. But I want to give you the title. This morning is What God Wants Every Mother to Know. What God Wants Every Mother to Know. And, you know, the thing about honoring our mothers and so forth is certainly something we should do. The Bible commands that. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, have you ever noticed, you know, May, you know, is Mother's Day. June is Father's, you know. But then when we get to the mothers, we honor the moms. We get to the dads and we beat them to death. Have you ever noticed that? And so forth. And dad, you've got to do a better job. You know, it's never easy being a mother. If it were easy, we dads would do it. Amen? But it's an impossibility. But let me give you a scripture, and I want you all to say amen to this. It says in Deuteronomy 27:16, it says, "Cursed be anyone who dishonors his father or his mother." And then it says, "And all the people shall say amen." Amen. That's what the Word of God says. You know, what God is saying to us on this Mother's Day, to every mother, it is also to each and every one of us. Now, with all that being said, let me say in the beginning here that what God wants to say to every woman, every mother, is this, that motherhood is not just a calling. It's the highest calling on this planet, amen? There's no doubt about that. Mothers are the first to, you know, hold their babies, or, you know, when they're born and so forth, or besides the doctor. I mean, somebody's going to send me an email and correct me. I felt it in the spirit, you see. They're the first, of course, to feed them and to change them and to bathe them and all the things that the mother does day in and day out. I mean, 24/7, and then what does the baby do for the mom? She opens, or he or she opens their little mouth. They say their first words, and they say, "Daddy." Isn't that about the truth? Yes. Now, mothers' values, they value what God's values is because they know that their child is a gift from God. Amen? Literally, it is he or she is the best gift from God. Psalm 127, verse 3 says this, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord," or literally, they are a gift from God, "and the fruit of the womb is a reward," is a reward to you from the Lord. So the Bible says, you know what? God says, here's the deal. If you're having a child, not all women have children, but you know the fact is, if you are, God says, here is my gift to you. He or she is not here to drive you insane or crazy, although that's debatable. Your children are not here to give you a horrible headache. And if you do have a headache, here's what I always say to do. You know, if your kids are giving you a headache, follow the directions on the aspirin bottle. No, it says keep away from children. And that's exactly what you need to do. You stay away from your kid. Now listen, the Bible, lighten up everybody. It's the first service. We can laugh, all right? Now, the Bible never states that every woman should be a mother, but every woman who is a mother has a divine responsibility that is given by God to them. Amen? And that they should take that responsibility seriously. You know, moms, listen, and single women, you who are going to be mothers or whatever, you are valuable to God. And there's another word. I asked my wife, if you could say one word to the mothers, what would you say? She said, I would say they are priceless. That's a very good word. That you are priceless to your child. Never, ever sell out your calling. Don't do that. What God wants every mother to know, turn with me to Genesis now, chapter 2. And let's just look at Eve, the first mom here, if you don't mind for a moment, and how God made her in Genesis 2:18. And let's follow along with me. It says, the Bible or the world, you know, remember, didn't create mothers or women or woman. God did. But look at verse 18 with me. And it says, and the Lord said, now Genesis shouldn't be hard to find, right? Okay, just want to make sure. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Now, we were just told why God created a woman. Think about that for a minute, men. It says it's not good for you to be alone. And you know why? God says you need a helper. In other words, you need a mama. You need a servant. You need someone that's going to draw your bath water, cook your meals, iron your clothes. Amen? No, that's not what this is saying. Don't say that. No, God in his word, he says, no, helper is a glorious word. Say that with me. Helper is a glorious word. It means that now the man is finally complete because he needs someone to go through this life with just as much as the wife needs someone to go through life with as well. And that word is a divine word. It doesn't come from man. It came from our Father in heaven. It's a glorious word. Now watch this. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed, or literally had formed already, every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. Now listen carefully, all of us. We're talking about moms today. We're talking about all of us. Our Father is so tender. Do you know what he just did? He's bringing all the animals to Adam to name and so forth, but he's so tender because what God wants Adam to discover all by himself is to discover his own loneliness. That's how good God is. Now watch this. So Adam called or gave names to all the cattle. He gave names to all the birds of the air. He gave names to every beast of the field. Evidently, he didn't like fish because we have no names for fish, okay? But for Adam, there was not found the helper, that wonderful person that was just like him, that was comparable to him. There wasn't there. So God brought all the animals there to Adam, and they passed before him in pairs just like there, Noah and the ark and so forth, and he started naming them. I don't know what he called them. I'm sure he didn't say Mr. and Mrs. Rabbit or, you know what I'm saying, Dodo Bird or Pooh the Bear, all the rest of the stuff. I don't know. But I do know this. Adam realized that in all of creation, everyone had someone except him. So look what God did in verse 21, talking about Mother's Day today. And then the Lord caused a deep sleep. That's like a divine anesthetic, if you will. A deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and Adam slept. And God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. You know, if you look up the word rib in the Old Testament, you'll find out that that it's used 35 times. But most of the time, it is used as side. And you know, this is so familiar to us, isn't it? It says that he took, you know, there must be a scar then on the side, amen? You follow me? And not only that, I wonder if blood was released from his side. Does that sound familiar? Absolutely. But the main point is not about Adam's rib. It's the location from where the rib or the where it was taken from. Listen, it didn't come from Adam's head. It didn't come from his feet. It came from his side because a woman should always be at a man's side. Never above him, certainly never below him. Amen? We go through this life together and so forth. And it says in verse 22, then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made, or he literally, I love this, he built into a woman, and he brought her to the man. So here's the first marriage, if you will. Here is the God is giving away the bride. And so, you know, taken from the side of man. You know, it's like you've heard me say sometimes, you're like the prime rib, amen, and so forth. Now, he built the woman, and God designed the woman, and he did so from man. Think about that. Ladies, listen to me. You know, women, only Adam came from the dust of the ground. You came from his rib. Think about that for a moment. What a package that God created here. And the woman was the very last of God's creative works there in the Garden of Eden. And the first woman, of course, Eve, came from man. It says in 1 Timothy 2:13, it says, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. Now listen carefully. Talking about mothers here, talking about women. Man in creation, how when God created him, it's told in just one verse. Just one. God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into him, living soul, so forth. One verse. But God used six verses to create Eve. Now, if you add 6 + 1, what does that equal? 7. That's God's perfect, perfect number. So together, man and woman, Adam and Eve, they made up humanity in a completed form. And Adam here was designed to be fulfilled only in a partner. Very important. Now look at verse 23 and look at Adam's proposal. It says, and Adam said, this is now. Watch what he does. Bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman because she is taken out of man. That's some great marriage vows. Amen. And I look at that. And so Adam, the last person that we know of recorded that Adam named, was his wife. No wonder, you know, like you've heard me say often, woe man. You got it? Oh, never mind. You guys are going to, the second service is going to treat me much better. I can already see it. Now, so he did that. Now, when Adam said, you know, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, you know, he knew that he came from his side. And when he saw her, now listen, he saw himself. Are you listening to me? He saw his own flesh. He saw his own bone. Your bone of my bone, your flesh of my flesh. God says, I made you one. Boy, we could go to Ephesians chapter 5 and teach right now, couldn't we? How important this is. Now listen, so Adam, what does he do now? He sees her, but not separate from himself. And now he prophesies to her because they don't have any parents except God. You follow me? They don't have a mother, a natural mother, natural father. It says, and therefore man shall leave his father, leave his mother, and be joined or glued, if you will, to his wife, and they, meaning male and female, shall become what? One flesh. One flesh. That's the miracle of the marriage covenant there. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So Eve didn't have to worry about a wedding dress. Amen? Now, y'all with me? What God wants every mother to know, every woman to know. You know, if we follow along in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, let's just look at it since we're already here. You know, it says in chapter 3, verse 1, and now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, here it is, has God indeed said? Loved ones, listen to me. Women, listen to me. Satan has never changed. You know, a woman and a mother, they are at the top of Satan's hit list. I mean, at the very top. The woman was the first one that Satan ever attacked, ever. His first victim was a woman. And so I've taught it so many times, the first lie that was ever delivered was delivered to a woman. The first lie that was ever believed was believed by a woman. And I look and I say, oh Lord, the first woman that was ever deceived was Eve. And you know what? Beware of the lies of the enemy. Amen. I tell you, he'll tell you that you're a lousy mother. He'll tell you that you have failed. He will even say, you know what? The reason you don't have any children is because God would never let someone like you be a mother. Do you follow me? Listen, we can't believe those lies. Being a mother is one of the most important callings in the world. And you have what no father can ever give to a child. And that is being a mother. So what God wants every mother to know, this: mothers are teachers, mothers are instructors, mothers are mentors, and mothers are trainers. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 with me. Ephesians chapter 6 in the New Testament. And look at verse 1. It says, children, obey. Boy, don't you wish it was that easy? Children, obey your parents, meaning you obey your mama, you obey your daddy, in the Lord, for this is right, meaning it pleases God. Honor, he's going to quote now, Paul's going to quote the fifth commandment, if you will, Exodus 20, verse 12. He says, honor, which means to treat as precious, treat like a treasure. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. And here's the promise: that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You ought to quote, make your child memorize that one. Amen. And you fathers, and let me add, and mothers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but here it is, but bring them up in two things. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, listen, that's it. That's the plan. Did you know that? You know how many books that I have read on raising children and Becky's read and so forth? You know what God's plan is? Two verses. Are you listening to me? Happy Mother's Day. God says, let me make it very simple for you. Here's what God wants you to know. It's just two things. Number one, it says training. Number two, admonition, okay? Now, you know, those words mean, of course, to discipline and to instruct, to give them a biblical worldview. You know, yesterday I had the windows open as I was where I was preparing the sermon, and Becky was gone, no one was at the house, it was just me, and I looked out on the patio, and there was a little dove, you know, like the Holy Spirit just rested on my house, you know what I mean? And I mean, it was just born, you know, it had the feathers, so it wasn't just born, but it was sitting in my chair outside, And so I took a picture of it to show her when she gets home and so forth. But then I realized that the mama and the daddy dove, they were teaching the little one how to fly. So all while I was preparing this sermon about Mother's Day, it's so interesting, there they were working together in the backyard teaching that dove to fly. And it was so incredible. The mama and the dad, they sang all day long. But they were really speaking to the little one. Are you following me? And that's what we're to do. You see, the Bible, God says, I want you to discipline your children. I want you to instruct your children. And let's look how we do that. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 22 with me, a verse that's probably the verse that everyone in the world knows on child training. And watch this now. Proverbs 22, verse 6. It says to do this, the same words that from Ephesians 6, by the way, except they're in Hebrew. Number one, it says to train up a child. That means from the moment they're born until they leave to get married. Train up a child, number two, in the way he should go. Not in the way he wants to go, but in the way he should go, meaning God's way. Amen? And number three, it says when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, the word train up has two meanings in the Hebrew language. The first meaning has the idea of training something that is wild, something that is out of control. You know, have you ever noticed if you have children, mothers, or when they were growing up, or if you have them now and they're little ones, have you ever noticed that they are out of control? If you don't believe me, after this service, go to the main lobby. You will see them. You have to almost, you know, have the shield of faith out as they're running, trying to kill you. You know what I'm saying? Bumping, jumping over the chairs. I'm just teasing. No, the children, you have to teach them everything. You have to teach them. They'll take the food out of the dish. They'll rub it all over their face. They'll put things up their nose. They'll eat dirt off the ground. They see something crawling, they'll put it in their mouth. This side, no. This side, you surely, you know what I'm... No, they're out of control. You know, you have to teach them everything. How to hold a fork, how to get dressed, and how to tie their shoe, everything. Why? They need you. They need you. Parents, it says that you train. Moms, it says that you train your children. Don't let your children train you. They're very good at it, amen? You know, you get little Caleb and Joshua, and if that's your child's name, I don't mean any disrespect. Caleb or Jacob, whatever, Billy. And you know, there you are, you say, okay, put away your whatever the toys are today, I don't know, Legos or their Star Wars drone set, I don't know, stuff like that. Go put it away. And there you are, you tell them about 20 times, you know what I mean? And the last time you tell them, you know, the veins on your neck and your eyes are popping out, is that training your children? No, they're training you because they know they can get away with it for at least 20 times, and then they know mother or daddy, they're going to go completely berserk and everybody in the neighborhood's going to hear them. No, that, listen, that's a dangerous thing. No, God says, listen, I want you to train them. And that leads us to the second word in the Hebrew of that meaning. It means to put something into their mouth. It means to instruct. It means to feed them the word of God. Amen? That's the only way you can train a child and train him for God. You know, God wants every mother to know how powerful your influence really is. You know, listen to this scripture from 2 Timothy 1:5 when Paul writes to Timothy. He says, listen, Timothy, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. I know you're the real deal. I know that you're born again. I know that you love the Lord. Now listen, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded which is also in you. You're the greatest influence in your child's life. Amen? You want the world to influence your child, or do you want you to influence your child? Surely you want you to be the main influence in his life. We mothers and dads are commanded to by God say, listen, feed them the word of God. Listen to, it says here in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from childhood, meaning from birth, infancy, you have known the holy scriptures, meaning Timothy, you know the word that you've been taught by your mother. It says, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by God, inspiration by God, and is profitable for doctrine. That means what's right. It's profitable for reproof. That means what's not right. It's profitable for correction. That means how to stay right. And it's profitable for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, that the woman of God, that the child of God, if you will, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know yet, but I will in a moment. You know, without God's word, will your child be complete? No, your child will be incomplete. They won't be equipped. I hear it all the time. You know, well, our kids are in kids' church. Well, no, that's only 1 hour a week, maybe two if you show up on Wednesdays. You know, we're here to assist you. You're the mom, you're the dad, amen? Amen? Now, the word train means discipline. Now, let me give you some scriptures. You know, I tell you what God really wants you to know is that you need to be consistent and correct your child early in life, amen? The Bible tells us how. Let me give it to you. Proverbs 13:24, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him or her, okay, disciplines him promptly, or literally disciplines him early, and so forth. God's not saying, okay, I want you to go beat your child. I want you to abuse your child. But what he's saying is that in the beginning years, have you ever noticed that a little one might need a little spank? I'm not talking about to hurt them, you know what I mean, but to swat. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I even walk through the lobby and I look at little ones and they see me and they just start crying. So I don't even have to swat them, not that I would. But what I'm saying is you can sometimes just look at your child if they're that tender in their heart, and they just know and they just immediately start crying because they know they've done something that's displeasing. So in the beginning years, you need to discipline them. As you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But let me say this. To spank, though, and then neglect to train your child in what is right, meaning in righteousness. Oh, loved one, that's a terrible deception. Amen? Yes. Let me give you another one. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten, or literally discipline your son while there is hope. That's a good word, man. I love that. And do not set your heart on his destruction. In other words, don't you hurt him or abuse him. That's sin. God says, you know, you discipline them. So the earlier you train them, man, the better, because their hearts are willing, their hearts are open. Don't wait until they're teenagers. Amen? Oh, no, listen. Mothers of teens, they have learned why some animals kill their young. You know what I'm saying? It's just joking. No. You know, listen. You know, when I was a boy, my sister, who turns, I think, 84 this next week, and who raised me. You know, you ever heard of those mood rings?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, you guys, thank you. And you know how they would change colors?
Yes.
Well, you know, when she was in a good mood, it was blue. And I always knew when she was in a bad mood because it turned red, because I had a big red mark right there. You understand? But she would attack me. So, you know, listen, what God wants every mother to know, correct them now to spare yourself later. Let me give you the scripture, Proverbs 29:15. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Correct your son, he will give you rest. Yes, he will be a delight to your soul. Now listen, I believe in my heart that I'm correct in what I'm saying, that you should only discipline your child by spanking or whatnot as a very last resort. The reason I say that is because the word instruct means to talk. It doesn't mean to spank. Amen? Did you know there's more in the Bible about instructing and training your children than there is swatting your kid, okay? You need to know that. So, how can you spank your little one unless you explain the rules?
Amen.
How can you spank your little one unless you have already explained the boundaries? That's not fair. You have to tell them or they don't know. And if you discipline in anger, oh boy, isn't that horrible when that happens? You know, that means if you're doing that, your child's trained you. That's what that means. Because they know how far to push you and so forth. You know, I'll give you two tips of what Becky and I did, okay? Now that we're old and we all this wisdom that we have. You know, what we did was this. When he was wild, when he was out of control, we would use a sturdy, a very strong, safe playpen. And whenever he calmed down, Becky and I would climb out of it. That's what we did. You know what I'm saying? So you can take that as wisdom from us, you know, and so forth. Now, and later what we did, though, we learned a better way. We would put these scriptures up in his bedroom that I'm going to read to you, and they would glow in the dark at night. So here, let me read them to you. Proverbs 20:20. If anyone curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in outer darkness. How'd you like that glowing in your child's room? Proverbs 30:17, the one that caused him to tremble the most, the eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. That's the word of God. Now listen, what God wants every mother, every single mother to know. You know, maybe, Mom, listen to me now. This is really all I wanted to talk to you about. You knew about the rest. But maybe you're like a Hagar. You know, someone's treated you horribly in your life. There you are, Hagar. Remember how she was pregnant? Sarai sent her away. Sarai abused her, sent her away, and so forth. She's carrying Abraham's baby. There she goes. She's an Egyptian, outside of the covenant. No one wants her, not even Abraham. Abraham let her go. And there she is. Remember, she gets out and she said, I'll just go over here and die and so forth. And because there's nothing, no water, nothing. And what does God do? There's a well there, remember? And she names the place the God who sees. May I tell you, moms, listen to me now. This is the hardest time ever in the history of America to raise children. I cannot imagine what you must be facing. But I know this, that God is facing it with you. And I looked and I think, you know, maybe you're like a Hannah. Oh, remember Hannah? Oh, what a blessing. You raise your children, but to give them back to the Lord. That's what she did with her little one, Samuel, gave him to the Lord and so forth. Or maybe you're an Elizabeth here and you don't know it, but one day you're going to be raising a John the Baptist. You just don't know. Or you may be today a single mother like Zarephath, and she was a widow. Remember what happened? She was doing everything that she could do just to put food on the table for her and her son. And then Elijah came along. You know, what God wants every mother to know, and all of us this morning, is this. At 2 a.m. when I woke up, and the Lord said, "This is what I want every mother to know." I went, "Lord, why do you do these things to me? I mean, I don't ever teach a Mother's Day message or a father. Come on." And it's like, no, I want them to know this. See, the thing is, Mom, Dad, young one, all of us, what God wants us to know is the question is not, who am I? You know, I hear it all the time. I don't know who I am. Or no, the question is, who is God? See, that's really the question. Now listen carefully. Mothers and everyone here, your reality of God, your Father, your knowledge of God, your Father, is much, much less than who God, your Father, really is. Listen, God is bigger than any. Do you understand? We don't get it. We don't get it. The Bible tells us in Psalm 145:3, "Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised." Listen now, his greatness, his hugeness is unsearchable. It's unsearchable. And I think, oh God, here we are. And you know, I see so many families in trouble, so many moms hurting, so many dads that are hurting, so many marriages that are hurting. And God says, listen, you don't know who I am. You know about me, but you know, you only know what the Word of God says, but I am bigger than anything. God is huge in our lives. Jeremiah cried out. He says, "Oh Lord God." In other words, that means I'm confused. My confusion, but you're greater than my confusion. Jeremiah says, "Behold, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power, your outstretched arm." Listen to what he says. "There is nothing too hard for you." There's nothing too difficult for God, our Father. Amen? Nothing, whatever you are facing, God says, no, there's nothing too difficult. Listen, moms, dad, everybody, God knows, God sees, God cares. He's bigger than your problem. He's bigger than anything you can ever face in this life. Amen? The Bible tells us, Isaiah cried out in Isaiah 66:1, said, "Thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne and my footstool. Where is the house that you'll build me, and where is the place of my rest?" Oh, what an incredible throne. It stretches from heaven to the earth, which he rests his feet upon, this little speck of dust in the universe. Listen, he goes on, he says, "All these things my hand has made, and all these things exist," meaning everything in the world, everything in the universe, says the Lord. "But here's who I look at." He says, "But this one I will look. This is the one that catches my gaze. This is the one that gets all of my attention. On him, on her who is poor," meaning weak, worn out, destitute, tired, contrite in spirit. That word means you're just crushed to pieces. "And one who trembles at my word." To tremble at the word of God means you believe with your heart the word of God. Amen? Yes. Now listen very carefully. You know, the God who made everything, he says, "Listen, I see you, man. I see everything you're facing. I see all that you're going through. I know all of your doubts. I know all of your fears. I know all of your failures. I know of all the lies the devil has told you. I know everything. I want you," God says, "I want you to know that I look at you. I see you. I see you right this minute." On that Wednesday night after I left here and got home and came and woke up Thursday morning, and I woke up because the Lord had given me a dream. I'm not saying that, you know, I don't know why God does certain things. It's not that I'm given the dreams or, you know, I'm some kind of wild guy or anything like that. But what was so heartbreaking to me, and this is what I want to tell you. After I had that dream, God said immediately to me, He said, I want you to teach on what God wants every mother to know. And in my dream, before I woke up, in the dream before God gave me the title of this sermon, I saw a mother. And oh, it was just horrible, the pain and in her heart. But the room that she was in, there was absolutely nothing in that room. I mean, it was just totally empty. And she went from corner to this corner and looking up and looking down, trying to find some sort of provision for her life, for her family, some way to make it, desperately seeking for answers. And then I saw her standing in the middle of the room. And loved one, you know what happened? Immediately, the wall that she was looking at completely disappeared. And behind the wall that disappeared was, I'm talking about, supernatural, abundant of provision that went, it went at such great distance, I could not see it. And God says, my help will be seen. I'm the Ebenezer. I'm the stone of help. Amen. He was saying, he says, help is there and help is on the way. It was a huge cupboard like a woman would walk into and she could select all the needs, everything that she, and God's saying, I tell you what I have for you. You have nothing to worry about. It's all going to work out. You know, the Bible says to us, listen, let me close here. It says in an incredible word in the psalmist, God says this in Psalm 81:10. He says this, I am the Lord, your God. I'm the Lord, your God. I love you. I want you. I belong to you. I am your portion, God says. I'm the Lord, your God. Listen to what he says now. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Mothers, listen to me. What does it mean? Open your mouths wide. It means pray. Go to the Lord and pray. He hears you. His ears are open to mothers. His ears are open to the righteous. Amen? No, he says, open your mouth wide, which means to pray. And wide means this. Ask God for the impossible. Ephesians 3:20, for God is faithful. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask and think according to the power that is working in you. Amen? That's what God wants you to know this morning. You see, he says, God says, if you're in that room and you don't know which way, you don't have any, he says, listen, ask me for the impossible. Because nothing is too difficult for him. Nothing, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, he says, open your mouth wide. And listen to what God says. He said, I will fill it. He will fill it, but you must believe that. You know, if you read that whole psalm, which was addressed to Israel, you know what God cried out in his heart? He said this. He said, oh, why do my people, why do they not listen to me? I tell you, you listen to the Lord. He has something for you. I tell you that person I know that's in this service, that's a specific word for you about that room that you're in. I cannot wait to hear your testimony when you say to me, that was my empty room and God manifested his supernatural provision. That's the Mother's Day message. Happy Mother's Day. Father, we praise you and honor you today in Jesus' name. And Lord, I've been obedient to deliver on this day what you've commanded me to do. I thank you for every mother, every father, every single mother, every single individual, every child, every person at Calvary Chapel. And Lord God, there's no one like you. You know the end from the beginning. You're the Alpha, the Omega. Oh Lord, this church, these mothers, in the mighty name of Jesus who loves them, who died for them, who will never leave them nor ever forsake them. Lord, we come to you all as the flock of God, but especially every mother, every woman, everyone that's in that room that seems so empty. And we cry out to you. We open our mouth wide in prayer. I open my mouth wide in prayer. for them, O God. Do the impossible. Fill it in the mighty name of Jesus. And we praise you. We honor you. And we love you. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? God is good, isn't he? You know, we're going to close out with a song, and then the altar area will be open for if you need prayer. You don't know Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Man, I tell you, there'll be people down here, they'll talk to you about it. They'll tell you what.